Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, why not check out our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Thanks so much. Good evening, everyone. It is so great to be with you this evening. As Jeff said, my name is Abby, and I'm part of the Highbury Park community here at Birmingham Vineyard. Today, we're carrying on our series that we started before Easter. We've been reading through a book of the Bible, Philippians. This book is a letter from Paul, one of the early Christian leaders and missionaries, to the people in the church in Philippi. So before we open up our Bible, I'm going to pray for us, if that's okay. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the love that you have for each and every one of us. I thank you that you have something to say to each of us right now. Lord, would you quieten our hearts? Would you quieten our minds? Help us to focus on you and to hear your voice, Father. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So if you'd like to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to start reading at verse 1. If you haven't got a Bible, not to worry, it is going to come up on the screen. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Paul, the writer of Philippians, is currently in prison, and he's in prison for preaching about Jesus, and so he can't go and see the church in Philippi. So instead, he writes this letter. In the first few verses, Paul encourages the church to be unified, to be one in spirit and of one mind. He mentions two things that can threaten unity, and they're mindsets or attitudes that can really sneak up on us and put a wedge between us and those around us. In verse 3, he mentions selfish ambition and vain conceit. So selfish ambition. This isn't just wanting to succeed, this is wanting others to fail. It's constantly thinking about what is in it for me. How can I use this situation to my advantage? Vain conceit. It sounds strong, doesn't it? William Barclay, he's a commentator on the Bible, he describes vain conceit as the desire for personal prestige. It's the desire to be seen and applauded by others, to have your opinion sought on important matters. And particularly for me, I find this idea of vain conceit so piercing, really quite convicting. We don't have time to unpack these topics of unity, of selfish ambition and vain conceit anymore now. But if you're part of a small group here, there's going to be some questions this week that will allow you an opportunity to unpack this more, particularly if you feel like this is something that God might be speaking to you about. So instead of selfish ambition and vain conceit, we are given the example of Jesus. In total contrast to this, Paul says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And then we have this brilliant poem, this explanation of what it means to have the same mindset as Christ. And it's the heart of the whole of Paul's letter to the Philippians. At first sight, if you've been around church a while, it might feel quite familiar to you. You might have even switched off a little bit as I got to the end of reading that bit. We know that Jesus is humble. We've heard that he became human, that he died on a cross, and that God exalted him. But whether you've heard those things hundreds of times or it's the first time you're hearing it, I believe that today is an opportunity to see Jesus afresh. And this is what I want to focus on today, what I feel God might be wanting to say to us. Have you ever had a situation where you saw someone you knew well with fresh eyes? This happened to me a couple of years ago when a really great friend who I know very well, she told me that she suspected that she was autistic. Now, I'm definitely not an expert on autism, but as we talked about it, it made me see her in this new and deeper way. I suddenly realized I could see why certain things came so easy to her and why she struggled with others. It was like this light bulb moment, thinking about who she was as a person, what she valued, and what she taught me. The main thing I remember from this interaction, though, is the feeling of being overcome with love and pride for her and who she is. I saw her with fresh eyes, and it made me feel so much love for her and so much closer to her as a friend. When we see people with fresh eyes, it can have a real impact on us. I think this is what Jesus wants for us today, to see him with fresh eyes and to be overcome at his love for us and how much he loves us. At the time of Paul's writing, it is crazy how ridiculously countercultural the statements he makes about Jesus are. In the ancient world, leaders were mighty, powerful conquerors who fought big battles. They were like the epitome of selfish ambition and vain conceit. They used their power and their position to advance their kingdoms, to gain prestige and conquer land. One such leader in Paul's era is the Emperor Augustus. He used his armies to fight battles, to become the sole leader of the Roman Empire, to advance the kingdom. And he conquered land in such a way that he brought peace to the entire known world. He used his power for his own ends, to advance his own kingdom. Leaders at this time were thought to be like Augustus. He was so successful that he was thought to be divine and he was worshipped like a god. Leaders at this time were all powerful conquerors who used their powerful position to advance their kingdom. Into that context walks Jesus. Into that kind of thinking about what gods and leaders are like in walks Jesus. And the Bible says, the passage says here, Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus is a king who doesn't take advantage of his power. He doesn't use it for his own gain. Though he is equal in power to God, he chooses to become a slave for the good of others and for the glory of God. This is groundbreaking. If you had asked the Emperor Augustus to become a slave for the people he worshipped, I'm pretty sure you would have been laughed out of his palace. We worship a God who redefines what it means to be divine. Being divine isn't about using your mighty power to conquer. Being divine is about self-sacrificial love. And this changes everything. Tom Wright, who used to be Bishop of Durham, says, as you look at the incarnate Son of God, Jesus, dying on the cross, the most powerful thought you should think is, this is the true meaning of who God is. He is the God of self-giving love. How often do we choose to pursue the way of Augustus instead of the way of Jesus? How often do we choose to use our power and our status for our own ends instead of choosing the way of self-sacrificial love? We are to live as Jesus lived. He is our example. And it is as countercultural today as it was then to live lives of self-sacrificial love. In our world, and certainly in my life, I've always felt a real pressure to succeed. That temptation of vain conceit to do better, to get a better job, to earn more money. You might have felt this pressure too. Everything is to be bigger and better. We are to climb in society, to climb the social ladder. But Jesus didn't climb the ladder. He descended it. He went from the very top to the very bottom. He didn't seek the prestige and praise from the world, but only from God, his Father. As we consider how we can approach power and influence as Jesus did, I want to ask you, where in your life do you have power and influence? This looks different for each of us. It could be at work, on social media, at school, in your neighborhood, in your family. But whether you feel like you have no power or you feel like you have all the power, you can still seek to have Jesus as your example. If you're listening and you're thinking, I don't have any power at all, well, you are in great company. Because the Bible is littered with examples of people who considered themselves to be nobodies and were used amazingly by God. Rahab the prostitute, Ruth the young widower, David the shepherd boy, Peter the fisherman, even Moses, when God asked him to do something, he said, "Who am I to go and do that?" And he ended up parting the Red Sea. Instead of pursuing power and influence as the world encourages us to do, how could you use your position right now, wherever it is that God has placed you? How could you use that for the kingdom of God, for God's glory, as Jesus does? If you're listening and you're thinking, I've got quite a lot of influence in certain spheres, actually. I'm quite popular at school. I have quite a lot of sway with my family, or I have quite a powerful job. Should I give all this up? It's not that having power and influence is a bad thing. My question to you here is, how do you use it? If we are to live as with Jesus as our example, we're to use it for God's glory and for the good of others. Do you use your position for your own advantage? How could you use your position for others? A couple of years ago, I was at a conference, and it was quite normal then to be all sitting around in tables. And there was this one moment where each table was feeding back their ideas to the rest of the room. And the average age of those in the room was at least 20 years older than me, and men far outnumbered women. When it got to our table, all the previous people who'd fed back for their table had been men. And a man on my table turns to me and said, "We need a woman's voice," and gestured for me to feed back for our table. It was such a simple act, but it was so empowering for me. When I thanked him after the conference, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he talked about how he had come to realize that as an educated white man, he seemed to have keys to doors that other people didn't have. And this analogy has really stayed with me. Are there any doors that you have the key to? Are there any doors that you could open for others? Instead of pursuing your own prestige, could you step aside for someone? Or could you come alongside someone? Whether you feel like you have much power or little power, the question is still the same. Do you pursue the way of Augustus? Or do you pursue the way of Jesus, the way of self-giving love? Shane Claiborne, a Christian writer and activist, uses the phrase growing smaller and smaller until we take over the world. And I love this. Instead of aiming to become more powerful, to become bigger, we aim to go smaller. And like I said, having power and influence isn't a bad thing. It isn't that we want to be insignificant or ineffective. But the significance and power we are after comes from living the way of Jesus. It comes from self-sacrificial love. I'm going to say that again. The significance and power we are after comes from doing things Jesus's way. It comes from self-giving love. We are to live as Jesus lived. We are to live those lives of self-sacrificial love. But if you're like me at this point, you might be thinking, this is really daunting. I can't do this on my own. Or where do I even start? The night before he died, Jesus celebrated Passover with his disciples, and he takes on the job of the lowest slave. And this really confuses the disciples, and they protest because this isn't Jesus's job. He's much too important for this. The passage says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. And then it describes him washing their feet. Jesus knew where he had come from and he knew where he was going. He knew who he was, and this enabled him to humble himself and live and die a life of self-sacrificial love. Like Jesus, we need to know, and I mean really know, in here and in here, who we are, God's children, dearly loved. As we understand more and more how loved we are, it enables us to love as Jesus did. Mother Teresa said, "We can do no great things, only small things with great love." We need to know Jesus's love for us, and then we need to start small. We start with the small everyday things that we always do, but we do them with great love. How might your week look different this week if you were to do everyday things with great love? As we come to the end, we have seen that Jesus is the opposite of selfish ambition and vain conceit. He is the example of how not to be these things, and he is also the antidote to them. His love enables us to live lives of self-sacrificial love. We're going to take a moment now to pray and to respond to God. And I really want to take this opportunity to pray for a fresh revelation of who Jesus is, for us to see Jesus, who he is, how much he loves us with fresh eyes. Let's pray.
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
Why not come along and visit us? We gather at 3 services across 2 sites on a Sunday and meet during the week in small groups across the city. More information on both of these can be found on our website.
Thanks for listening, and God bless.